Thank you all. This is a little different, telling your story. Probably some of these things I haven't really talked to people about. But I want to pray before we go ahead. Jesus, you know I feel a little anxiety. Even though I say this is my story, it's really yours. Because of the things you did in my life was changed. And it never went like I thought it was going to. But it's been happy and good. And I just praise you for your presence in my life and for your love to me. Amen. In case you didn't know, I was born a child. I think my mother thought I was born talking. And so I was born in Biloxi, Mississippi. My dad was in the Coast Guard. And we moved around a lot. But the thing I remember, some of the memories I have vaguely of times in the past, is that I can't remember a time I didn't know God. He was always there. I knew him. And that feeling of him being there became very natural to me. My mom tells me that when I was about 3 or so, I would come in, whatever she was doing, and say, okay, it's time to go pray now. And we would go get together and pray together. I asked her the other day, well, Mom, what did I say in that prayer? And she said, well, I can't remember all of it, but it was something about blessing other people. And yet I knew that God's presence was there, even though I could not put a word to it. My dad was a pastor after getting out of the military. My dad was a pastor of a small Friends church in Kansas. And that's the one that had the snakes in the outhouse. That's another story, so I'll tell you later. I didn't visit it any more than I had to. But he was preaching one Sunday morning, and I was somewhere between 4 and 5. And I knew he had an altar call, which is most of us don't really know what that is anymore. But I felt I needed to go forward, that I just had to, and that God was telling me I needed to go, so I did. And there I gave my heart to the Lord. And my dad said he didn't quite know what to do with this young daughter at the altar. What do you say? But there I really committed my life to God. We moved to Newburgh when I was 5, my dad wanted to attend Pacific College. It is now known as George Fox. But we lived close by so that he could go to school, and he worked another job. He worked for PGE, and I went to school, and we attended Newburgh Friends. So from the time I was 5, that was my church. And I grew up there, and I learned and did things there that kids need to learn. I learned how to lead. I learned how to pray. I learned how to listen. And we had a Christian Endeavor. I don't know what they call it now, youth group, I think. But we had Christian Endeavor, and so we took turns giving lessons and taking the lesson and giving it to the rest of the group. I know we did some fun things, but I always remember having to go to Christian Endeavor and try to come up with something good out of what I was reading. But one of the things that was really a detriment to me was I became, and I didn't notice this till later, but things were very clear about what you could do and not do. And there was a lot of legalism in that. And I've heard people tell me it came from a holiness group that came in, and that was a big deal with them, but you were in sin all the time. And if you didn't say something to God right away, you were in trouble. You wouldn't go to heaven. And so I had to sweat out not going to heaven and trying to figure out if this was wrong or not. And it was very painful. I remember one time my girlfriend and I hooked hands. I don't know if you've ever done this, and went round and around in a circle. And when I got home, my dad said, you know, one of the elders came to me and said you were dancing in front of the church. And so it was like that. The first time I ever wore nylon stockings, a couple of men made fun of me at the seam that went up the back of your leg. How many of you remember those kind of stockings? But it was very confusing because I knew God. I knew he was there and I loved him. But yet here were all these things I couldn't attain. We didn't hear things about grace. We didn't hear things about how God forgives or teaches us. And I want to tell you, every time we went to any meeting and there was an altar call, I was there, right at the front, because I was sure there was something I needed to go up for. And it was very disturbing sometimes because I couldn't think totally why I was there, but I knew I must have done something. And one day my uncle said something to me that changed my whole way of thinking about things. He said, Karen, when God speaks to you, you will know it. You will know what it is, you will know what you've done, and you will know what you need to go to the altar for. The other is a false guilt that we lived with. And it's very hard to get past that. Because there was always guilt and shame with those things that we might have done wrong. I remember going to a theater the first time in the eighth grade, and we were going to watch War and Peace. I don't remember any of the movie because I was sure God was going to come down and zap me before I could get out of the theater. So, to be honest with you, I don't know what all it was. But there was this fear, and so I lived in fear, and I lived in shame, and I lived in guilt, because that was the way God was portrayed to me. And I feel bad about that, because it kept me really from doing some of the things that, you know, and really recognizing when it was God and when it wasn't. And that helped me for my uncle to say, you will know. And I found that to be true. When God, the Holy Spirit, convicted me, I knew exactly what it was. And I felt bad that I had done that. And maybe it wasn't something I intended. And I could say, God, I'm really sorry. I see you have brought that to my attention. And I could pray about that. But this nameless false guilt that floated around was always hanging over probably most everybody's head. But I was still aware of God. And once when I was praying, he gave me a verse that I've had all my life. And I was trembling so hard when I was praying because I knew God was there. And it was such a wonderful experience. And he gave me this verse, and I have tried to follow this always. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he will give to you. But remember the root command, love one another. And that verse has been mine pretty much all my life and has helped me as time has gone by that God has chosen me. I want events that happened. First, when I was 17, I fell off a horse and my foot caught in the stirrup and I was dragged quite a ways. Now, that's not fun, I want to tell you. And I ended up having 4 lower back surgeries and a neck surgery over the years. And at one point, the doctor said, Karen, you're going to be semi-invalid the rest of your life. And here I was, 20 years old, and I thought, I can't bear this. And I spent the night just talking to God. And finally, when the day came, I said, okay, God, if that's what you want from me, you're going to have to stay with me every single minute because I can't bear this. And the doctor came in and he said, you know, I have a doctor friend and I'm going to ask him to do the next surgery. And it came out really well. And I was so glad. Another time, I wanted to be a nurse all my life. That was my goal, and that was what I wanted to be. And so after high school, I took a year at George Fox of pre-nursing so that I could get a four-year degree. But that was before I had the first back surgery. And after that, the three places I'd been accepted wrote me and said, we cannot accept you anymore because you've had a back surgery. And that was my life. That's what I had planned on and wanted all my life. I ended up being a counselor, and I don't know if that was better, but God knew what I needed to do, and I had to have faith that that was true. But I want to tell you a story. I always knew that God loved me, but I didn't have much feeling about it, and that bothered me. And as I learned about our family dynamics, that was kind of the way things were. I knew my parents loved me, but they weren't very demonstrative. But I had a dream one night, and this is where the man in the brown suit comes in. I dreamed that I was in a big auditorium. I think we were watching my granddaughter Amanda dance. And I was in this big auditorium, and I noticed there were several men lined up by the exit, and one of them had a brown suit. And so I thought, well, that's strange. All the rest have black suits. What's he doing? So as I was going out, I came to a stairwell, and I knew that if I took a step on those stairs, I would fall and be hurt badly. I just knew that. And all of a sudden, this hand came to my arm and said, I'm going to help you down. You won't fall. And it was the man in the brown suit. And I thought, well, that's, you know, who is he? So we got to a hall and we looked down this long hall and he said, I know that Roy and the boys are waiting for you. And if you go in that first door on the left, just go outside and they'll be there and you'll be safe. Well, I saw some other doors that kind of looked interesting. So I thought, well, I'll try this one first, and then I can go back and go there. So I opened the door and immediately fell down a hill. Well, here I was at the bottom of the hill, and I couldn't get up. And all of a sudden, the man with a brown suit came along, and he said, Karen, let's go. I'm going to help you up. So he did. And he said, now remember, the door is on this side, and that's your husband and kids, and that's where you need to go. But I saw a door at the end that looked real interesting, and I thought, boy, I better go there. So I went down there, and I opened the door, and it was just it was so noisy, and there were trucks going by, and there were jackhammers going, and cars going every which way, and lights shining, and I knew I couldn't get across the street. And so I kind of stood there a minute, puzzled. And then all of a sudden, there was a man with a brown suit, and he said, I'm going to help you across the street. And I turned to him, and I said, why are you doing this? Why do you do this for me when I'm constantly doing opposite of what you told me? And he said, because my job is to love you and to take care of you. And that was such a wonderful, wonderful image to me, and a feeling of God's love for me, even when I didn't do always the right thing. I wasn't perfect. And God loved me and accepted me, even if I wasn't. So, God is still with me. He still loves me. And the thing that I'm working through now, as I'm sure a lot of you are, is the split in the yearly meeting. That has created so much grief for me, I can't tell you. because I grew up in Newburgh, France. I grew up in the yearly meeting. I gave workshops. I went with the youth. I was a part of that. Well, I'm 76, and I was five. I guess that was about 70 years that I was a part of that, and now it's gone, and I'm trying to find a place. I'm trying to find out who I am now. And I think there's a lot of you who probably have that same feeling. But I have faith that God is with me and that he will continue to lead me, even though the things that happen seem to be so hard. Not being able to be a nurse. Several of the things that came about because of my back surgeries. You know, but God took care of me, and he'll take care of you. And you don't always know that because it doesn't look like he's doing a very good job sometimes. But he does take care of us, and he loves us. And sometimes I don't have that feeling, and as I've told a lot of people, feelings are not facts. The fact is God loves me, whether I feel that feeling or not. So as we go into an open worship time, I didn't think of any queries particularly, but I think about what has God spoken to you? How has he either shown his love today or spoken to your heart? And I'll just open it now for an open worship time.